Today we're continuing our series on healthy in, healthy out. Instead of garbage in, garbage out, we're focused on taking health in. And what will happen if we take healthy in? We'll have healthy out. It's just the natural way of doing things. We get to participate in how good our lives are. That's good to know, isn't it? And that means also that we have some control of how good our lives are. At some level, we have some control over that. Well, today I want to talk with you about God wants to eat with you. How many of you would feel really comfortable with sitting down and having a meal with Jesus today? Now think about what you're going to be eating today. How many of you now would feel, is it fried chicken? I don't know, he might enjoy fried chicken with you. I'm not going to say he's not. Well, there's something about eating together that brings relationships closer. If you want to get to know somebody better, you invite them out to eat. That's what we do. It's not just cultural. This is the way it's always been. There's a connection with those who eat as we eat. There's a connection with those who eat as we eat. When a family gets together and all eat the same meal and all find satisfaction, there's unity in the family for that 30 minutes. Now, if one of the family goes off and they're in college in California and they learn a different way to eat and they come back and they look at you like you're some carnivore just eating your meat, there's not unity in that period of time, is there? But as we come together and we eat in unity and we like what each other likes, at some level we can find unity and there's more to our relationships. Well, humans are the only species on earth that surrounds itself with food, rituals, holidays, and togetherness. Humans are the only species on earth. Is that Jacob? Yeah. That was at Christmas this year. This is what I'm dealing with, all right? Generally, we start eating together, right? We pray, and then we start eating together. And generally, we all stay at the table until everyone is finished, by and large. Dinner time is the moment in the day at which everything else must give way to communality. Dinner time is that time of day when everybody is to come together. And the TV goes on mute, it should, or it goes off. Phones get set aside. Toys are abandoned and children come to the table. Work stops and we eat. We're together. The call to dinner is one of the most important parts of the day. It's confirmation of family life. It's confirmation that what we're doing is working. Our roles we're playing, whether we're hunters and gatherers or providers and planners, mothers or fathers. It's that confirmation that what we're doing at the moment is working. We're together, we're at the table, and we're getting to know each other again. At the table, what do? We reminisce. We tell stories. We catch up on the day and things that we've talked about. I love sitting down at men's breakfast every Wednesday morning. We get to know each other. We hear stories. We catch up. We find out the likes and dislikes of each other. I love Thursday nights when the students come and they gather around the table and they sit and they eat and we hear about Haley's horse, Miles, and Scooter, Meadow's horse, and we hear about Caleb's desire for a Pinto. And we hear about a Ford Pinto, yeah. See, he's got it. Hey, Chuck, see if we can give me just a little bit more in Caleb's monitor. I don't know. We hear about some of their politics. We hear about their music and their lack of taste. No. We hear about some of their struggles in life, things that they're struggling with. You see, while at the table, you learn a lot of things. Some people chew with their mouths open. Some people are completely oblivious to others being around them. And some people are very proper. Some people, you just want to watch them eat because they're so proper. My wife is one of those people. She just comes to the table. If we go to a restaurant and there's a buffet, I will get a plate and I'll just dump everything on there. My wife will sit down at the table and she's got the same items on her plate that I've got, somewhat. And I will look at that plate and it looks like a gourmet meal compared to mine. It's just I was in a church staff meeting one time and the happy-go-lucky, big smile youth pastor that we had, he comes in and he's carrying an apple. I'm like, oh God, no, 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 no. And sure enough, after we get started, a few minutes after we get into it, I hear, he ate the whole apple, the whole thing. I was ready to run. Eating together says we're in this together. Have you ever thought about that? We're participating in what it takes to survive another day together. At some level, we're humbly declaring our dependence upon food to survive together. And when we eat together, we're symbolically connecting in our need, saying, we need this in order for us to survive. When eating together, we also learn that each other likes different things. We learn what each other likes. And my wife cannot understand how I cannot even, I just abhor turnip greens. When she's cooking them, I will walk in the house and just turn around and walk back out. It stinks so bad. She can't understand that. And at the same time, I can't even begin to understand why anybody in their right mind would ever eat turnip greens. Who eats turnip greens in here? She actually not only eats them, but she enjoys it. I can't figure that out. Eating together also means we have let down our guards. We've let down our guards. When we sit down and we eat together, we let down our guards. There's laughter, there's joy, there's funny stories, there's intimacy, there's prayer with gratitude. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do. Now, all throughout Scripture, we find God involved with people eating. And if you can get this in mind as you begin to read Scripture and as you are walking through Scripture, you'll find that God has a desire to eat with His people. If you're paying attention, you'll see that all throughout Scripture. It's part of His character. It's what He desires. It's something He wants to do. In Genesis chapter 18, God comes to Abraham, and Abraham makes him a big meal, and they ate together. Now, Abraham and Sarah had over 300 servants at the time, but Abraham personally went out himself and he chose the calf that he would feed to God. Interesting, isn't it? And it was said that that was tender and good. He did a good job choosing that calf. And Sarah, it says she personally kneaded the dough. She didn't put it off on a servant. She did it because she knew this was God. And this was going to be an important moment in their lives. Exodus chapter 18, which is kind of where we are in our story, in our series on healthy in, healthy out. Exodus 18 tells the story of Moses being reunited with his wife and children. And his father-in-law brings his wife and children to be with him. You see, when they came out of Egypt, at some point, Zipporah, his wife and kids, went back to live with her home family, her own family, her father and mother. And Moses got to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and was able to see all the great things happen, you know, the crossing of the Red Sea. And I don't know if Zipporah was there for that or not, but we do know that at some point she went back to be with her home family. Well, Jethro, her father, brought them back to Moses. And Moses sat down with Jethro and he started telling him all of the things that God had done. He'd brought him out of across the Red Sea, water out of a rock, to be able to water more than 2 million people. That's a lot of water. He told him about the manna falling from heaven and the quail that would come across the land at night so that they could hit them down and be able to have quail and meat for dinner. Jethro was so impressed. And look what it says. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. They didn't have to include that little phrase, in the presence of God. God was there and they knew it. They had this meal. There was fellowship. There was storytelling. This is what God's done. This is where we're headed. This is what we're doing. This is God's promise. Jethro wasn't a part of the Israelites. He was outside of that camp. But here he is hearing all of that that God had been doing and what God was doing through the Israelites. And God was there to hear it and God was there to participate. God showed up for dinner. God showed up for dinner. Very interesting, isn't it? You can imagine God wanting to sit down and just talk with them and have a conversation with them. God to hear them and what they had to say and just be able to sit and talk and have a conversation with them would have been an amazing moment. Now, here's something interesting. We know that God loves the smell of steak cooking. He loves the smell of fat cooking. Is God alone? No, I love it too. He loves food. But there is something more than food and about eating that God loves way more when it comes to eating with you. He loves the fellowship. That's why God wants to eat with you. One day, Jesus came to a village where a woman named Martha invited him to come to her house. And she was so excited to have Jesus coming into her home. And she knew, oh man, this is going to take a meal. I need to start preparing a meal. Well, I've got my sister Mary. Surely she's going to help me. Mary was there, but she never came into the kitchen to be able to help. Mary didn't want to cook. She went in and she sat down in the living room with Jesus and all the disciples. And she started just listening and having a conversation with them. Finally, feeling all self-righteous and anger. And she was just pent up. You can imagine Martha in the kitchen slamming pots and pans and making noise so that Mary could hear and trying to remind her, I'm in here doing the work while you're out there sitting. Surely she's going to hear me. Surely she's going to feel bad about this situation and eventually come and help me. I at least could have her help cleaning the dishes. So she's in there making all this noise. She's frustrated. She gets angrier and angrier. And finally she goes out and she blames Jesus for it. She blamed Jesus for it. She said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What do you think that one thing was? Food is needed, but only one thing is really needed. What was Mary doing? She was fellowshipping. She was getting to know Jesus. She was listening and learning and having that relationship. So for God, it's not so much about the food as it is God wants to sit down and eat with you to get to know you and for you to get to know Him. It isn't the food as much as it is the fellowship that God is after. God loves sitting around the table and just listening to the chatter. The last night, Jesus was with His disciples. He had dinner with them. This does not look anything like it actually looked. It's a good depiction. It's what we're familiar with. But all throughout the Old Testament, God has feasts and festivals that He had planned with the Israelites. And He established those for the people that they would remember what He had done for them throughout the years. And most of all of those were celebrated with eating food, those feasts and those festivals. Well, this night was the night before Jesus was crucified. It was the most special and important meal of the year. It was Passover, where they were celebrating the memory of God's passing over the homes of the Israelites and leaving their firstborn sons safe. Well, that night, Jesus established for us what is known as today, Holy Communion. It's where we eat the little wafer and drink the juice or the wine, and we remember that Jesus died for us. We remember that his blood was spilled for us and his body was broken for us. And it says this, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. And to this day, this ordinance of the church brings us together to eat with God and brings us together as often as we do it to eat together and to remember the story of what God has done for us 2,000 years ago, that he saved us, that he gave us forgiveness for our sins. Isn't that awesome? So God wants to eat with you. And he wants us to eat together. The point of this is that God wants fellowship with you. God wants to sit and he wants to talk with you. And he wants us to eat together along the way, even if it's just going out to eat. But this is one specific thing, one of two ordinances he gave us. The other is water baptism. One of two things that God gave us, instead of giving us all the feasts and festivals that the Old Testament people had, he gave us these two things. And he said, "I want you to eat together often. And as often as you do this, you declare my coming back." That's the Lord's table. That's communion. That's eating together. So when you sit down to read his word, what are you doing? You're eating with God. You're dining at the table of God. When you sit down to read the Bible, when you wake up in the morning and you start reading your scripture, whether it's on your phone or in the Bible, you're eating, you're dining at God's table. And God begins to teach you. God begins to converse with you. He begins to talk with you. He begins to give you peace and hope that will get you throughout your day. He gives you a moment to enjoy with him, the creator of the universe. You get to spend that time with him. You see, God wants to eat with you. God wants to sit with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to have that communication with you. The problem is, all too often, we're just eating to survive. God doesn't want you to just eat to survive. What happens when you're eating to survive? You just start scarfing it in. If you only eat on Sunday morning here at church, you'll sit here and you'll scarf it in. You'll take it in, you'll apply it to your life for a moment, and then what happens? You go out and you're starving all week long. God wants you to eat all week long so that you can process it, so that you can have relationship with him. If you sat down at the table and you were just starving every time you sat down at the table, you're not going to enjoy the fellowship. You're not going to enjoy the food. You're just going to scarf it in. You're going to just fill yourself to a place where you can feel like you're not hungry anymore. God wants more than that. God wants you to eat at his table so that you can have a relationship with him. God wants you to eat enough along the way that when you sit down, you are not starved. He wants you to read scripture. He wants you to think and ponder with him. Sit at the table throughout the day of your life. God wants you to be so content and calm that even if you're surrounded by distractions, even if you're surrounded by difficult things, by problems, even if you're surrounded by your enemies, that you can sit at the table with God during a time of prayer, reading scripture, letting him talk with you, you guys having a good time communicating together. That's called relationship. That's God eating with you. God wants you to do that so much that no matter what is going on in your life, you can have this relationship with him. We kneel and we pray, and what is it? We're just begging him, "God, help me to just survive. God, please bring me healing." We're pleading and praying, "God, please help me financially." We're just pleading with him, surviving barely every day. When we do that, what are we doing? We're missing the relationship. "God, please help me to pay this bill." Well, when's the last time you talked to him? Why are you suddenly talking to him now? Not saying you shouldn't. But I'm saying he wants you to get to a place where you're not just cramming when you sit down to dine with him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. "God, help me to save my marriage." Well, wait a second. What have you been doing all along the way? Start doing that now. Sit down and have relationship with him. And what will happen? Your life will come together. You see, God wants you to get to the place where when you come to the table, you sit down and you relax with Him. And it's not survival mode. It's relaxing with Him, no matter what's going on in your life. This is the picture that we get from Psalm chapter 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." What is David saying? I'm not coming to cram. I'm coming to just relax in His presence. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing because I have eaten all along the way. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Some of you feel like the waters are just roaring around you right now. Life is happening so fast. God wants to sit and eat with you. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. What do you do at a table? We feast. We eat. Your enemies are not welcome at the table. They may be present, but they don't have a seat with you and Jesus. Sickness and disease, they might be present, but they don't have a seat at the table. It's just you and Jesus. Those who hate you, those who would use and abuse you, they might be present, but they don't have a seat at the table. It's just you and Jesus. Your bills, your house payment, your car payment, your need for food, they might be present, but they don't have a seat at the table. It's just you and Jesus. Those who put you down, those who keep you down, those who would keep you in your place, they might be present, but they don't have a seat at the table. When you sit and you dine with Jesus, He has prepared a table for you personally to come and sit at so that He can be there and have dinner with you, so that He can be there and speak to you and talk with you and converse with you and laugh with you and go over the things that you're facing in your life and get through your day a lot better in amazing ways because God is with you because He sat down to eat with you. Your ungodly boss, he might be present, but there's no room at the table for him or her. You understand, it's just you and Jesus. Your ungodly family members, everybody said amen to that one. There's no room at the table for them. It's just you and Jesus. Those who look down on you for loving Jesus, guess what? Hopefully they're there because Jesus will be very proud at that moment that you're sitting there with Him. None of these people, none of these things, your disease, all of that stuff is not present at the table. Doesn't even have a seat, but you have a seat at the table. That's where you belong. You have a seat with Jesus. When's the last time you sat at your table with Him and ate? He prepares a table for you so that you can sit and eat with Him. It's time to have that table with Jesus, that table time with Him. It's time for it. It's time for it. Where it's just you and Him. And when it's all said and done, it's just going to be between you and Him. You understand when you get to heaven and you're going to stand before Him, you're not going to be able to say, "Hey, Jesus, I'm with John with Relate Church." You might have a lot of faith in me. I don't know. But it's not going to help. It's going to be between you and Him. Nobody gets to stand up for you but Him. When's the last time you spent time at the table with Him? No wonder you're afraid. No wonder you fight depression. No wonder we forget he's conquered our enemies. No wonder we forget. No wonder we're fighting for survival, and there's no wonder that we've forgotten how good God is. How good he is. You have to spend time at the table to understand how good he is. Can you imagine sitting at the table and all of your enemies surrounding you? And Jesus and you just having a conversation and acting like nothing is wrong. That's what coming to the table and eating with him is like. James David, would you come? When you're at the table with Jesus, your enemies don't matter. Nothing else matters. There's security. You know who you are. You know why he created you. You're not worried about tomorrow. You're not even worried about the rest of the day, because if God is for me, who or what could be against me? I love the song that Russ Taff sings, "There's a table in the wilderness where the blind can see and the poor possess, where the weak are strong and the first ones last. There's a table in the wilderness where the blessed sing of his tenderness, where the lame can walk and the weary rest, and the table at the table in the wilderness. When you search so hard for the promised land, but the earth won't yield to your blistered hands, and you hang your head and you wipe your brow, and you shout it out, there's a table in the wilderness where the blind can see and the poor possess, where the weak are strong and the first ones last, there's a table in the wilderness. When you close your eyes, kneeling by your bed, all the working hours spinning through your head, you remember the place that your heart desires, where you found your life, you'll find life at the table in the wilderness. Where the blind can see and the poor possess, where the weak are strong and the first ones last. There's a table in the wilderness. God has provided a table for you to come and sit and talk with him personally. When's the last time you sat at the table? Would you bow your heads? In your mind's eye, imagine Jesus standing there, this beautiful wilderness. And he's got a table made just for you. And you come over, and he's got your favorite food sitting on the table. And he can't wait to sit down and have a conversation with you. And you're starving, because it's been a while since you've sat at the table. And Jesus knows that, but he wants you to sit anyway. So you come over and you sit down, and he says, "Go ahead, just start eating." And he's going to give you time to get that in so that you can then begin to have this relationship with him and conversation with him. That's how good he is. That's how gracious he is. That's how wonderful he is. God knows your needs. And today, right now, you need to know that he cares about your situation. He cares about your finances. He cares about your health. He cares about the family members or the friends that used to be friends. He cares about those coworkers that aren't treating you right, the students at school that aren't doing you right. They're saying bad things about you. He knows about all of those things. And he says, I have prepared a table in the wilderness for you to sit down with me, and we can be surrounded by all of these things, and you will be fine because you got me. Jesus, thank you for your love for us. So today, as individuals, we sit here, we dine with you, and we ask you, fill us with your peace, the food from heaven, to know that you're with us, and we give you all of our struggles. We give you disease. It's not ours. It's yours from this moment on. We give you cancer. God, we give you back disease. We give you heart disease. Make us strong. God, all of these enemies, they can't touch us. They have no seat at the table. We give you our finances in Jesus' name. We trust you and thank you that we can lay all of that aside and just get to know you. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name.